All right. Well, we come to the lesson tonight that I've most been looking forward to since we began this a number of months ago. Tonight, I want to share with you some specifics about how to have a devotion time or a quiet time. Now, let me give you some cautions before we just jump into this. First of all, the method that I'm going to share with you tonight is not something that is prescribed in Scripture, meaning that there are a lot of different ways to have a devotion. I may stand up here a year from now and share with you an entirely different way to have a devotion, and it won't be that this one was wrong or that one was wrong. Another pastor could share with you, or you could share with one another how you have learned to have your daily devotion time with God, and that's fine. So what I'm going to share with you tonight is not some biblically prescribed plan. It's just something that through the principles we see in Scripture, and I'll show you where this is based, but through the principles that we see in Scripture, I think this is one way to have a devotion time. And I know it's a way that has served many people well through the years. There are many, many ways to draw near to God. And we should be careful that we don't criticize somebody else's method. As long as it's scriptural, as long as it is putting them in God's Word and connecting them with the Lord for the glory of God and real life change, then that's good. And so let's be careful we don't criticize someone else's method. And by me giving you my method, this isn't to say that there's not many, many other good methods for devotion time. We shouldn't get caught up trying to fit into somebody else's technique. Okay, so now I really believe in what I'm going to share with you. So all these cautions, you're thinking, well, maybe we should just go home. But I want us to be careful that as we talk about how to have a quiet time in this context, and as you talk to friends and family members, your husband or wife, about your quiet time, let's don't get caught up in the technique. The goal is to spend time with the Lord, right? Life-changing, God-honoring time with the Lord. And sometimes people can get so caught up on the technique that, you know, they throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, they miss the real point, which is Jesus Christ. But all of that said, let's use the tools that have been provided to us and the people that God's put in our lives who can teach us. Let's learn from their ways of doing quiet times. I've read, 100 books through the years about how to do a devotion time. So I've benefited from others, and much of what I'm going to share with you this week and over the next couple of weeks will just come from some of those resources that I've learned from through the years. So we're in your outline, the one that says part 11. I want to begin by just sharing with you some common models that people use for quiet time, and then just a couple of comments, not really criticism, but let me show you where some of these models sometimes fall a little short of the ideal. First of all, many people use the Acts prayer outline, and I've taught that before. You've probably heard people teach that before. Are you familiar with that? ACTS. A stands for adoration. So you come to God and you begin with adoration, and then confession, and then thanksgiving and supplication. That's a real good, you know, reminder to make sure that your prayers are well-rounded. And the good thing about this is it keeps us from just having a prayer life that sounds like we're begging for stuff. Lord, I'm here with you in prayer, and I have 74 things I need you to do. Amen. Okay? That's not how your prayer should look. And the good thing about the ACTS is it makes your prayers more rounded. Make sure you're including these other components. The problem is without some significant guidance, this can become very, very repetitive. And if you've done the ACTS before and you've done it every day for a month, you know that you tend, or I tend anyway, to fall into some ruts. So what do you say when you get to adoration and we adore the Lord? Now, there are a lot of ways you can express your adoration from God, for God, but I promise you, without a little guidance, this will sound a lot the same every single day. Have you noticed that? And so if it sounds the same, you're going to get bored with it. If you get bored with it, you're not going to continue it. So one of the problems with ACTS is that if we're not careful, it'll get into a little bit of a rut. And so some people have used the CHAT, And this is basically the same thing. It's just a little easier to remember than ACTS. You can have a chat with God. When I was a youth pastor, this is what I always taught. Confess, honor, ask, and thank. And again, I think that's a pretty good outline for our prayer life and to guide our devotions, because it helps keep our prayers more rounded so that we're not just bringing God a laundry list, but we're confessing our sins, we're honoring, we're asking, we're thanking. It's got some of the key pieces in there. It has the same downside, perhaps, as the ACTS. Without some guidance, you can feel like you're in a little bit of a rut. Now, many people use devotional books. Open Windows, Daily Bread, My Utmost for His Highest. Are you familiar with those? Our church probably passes those out. I know that. Do we pass those out for free? They will send them to us for free if we'll pass them out. That's why most churches pass them out. And those, you know, I want to be real careful. Those are not terrible things. I've been asked to write for one and agreed, and then they never called me back. So I don't know if I work for one of them or not, but. They're not terrible things, but they can be used, let me just be honest with you, in a terrible way. Now, if you're familiar with them, and I know I'm treading on dangerous ground, and Oswald Chambers is, I mean, he's a hero of mine, so I'm not critical. I'm not critical of the resource. I'm critical with how people use them. And so if you're familiar with all of those resources, it has one verse of Scripture at the top, sometimes a half a verse of Scripture. Sometimes two verses, but more often, I mean, it averages one verse of Scripture. And then it has three paragraphs by some guy, you know, some great guy like Oswald Chambers or some, you know, starving pastor like me that they, you know, pay $100 a month to write these things. I mean, they get the names wherever they can get them, if they're scraping the barrel enough to ask me. So it's one verse of Scripture and three paragraphs by some guy named Fred. And that's not reading that every morning and then closing your book and walking away and saying you had a time with the Lord is not accurate, okay? Now, you read one verse from the Lord and you read three paragraphs from some guy you don't even know who it is, and that's not time with the Lord. Okay, so now they can be used in significant ways. And a lot of people will read a devotion book, and these aren't the only ones. I guess every Christian author writes a devotion book because it's sort of a cash cow thing for them. But you can pick up all kinds of devotion books. If you use them to supplement, and I often use them, but I use them to supplement me reading the actual Word of God. I mean, you know, there's a difference between reading what God has to say and reading what some guy named Fred says in three paragraphs. So if it's used as a supplement or, you know, to maybe help you get out of a rut, then that's good. But your quiet time needs to include you hearing from the Lord, the inspired Scripture. God didn't just give some outline so that people today could write about it. God inspires His Word. The Holy Spirit will teach His Word. You need to be in the actual Word of God. And I'm not saying you have to read seven chapters a day. In fact, that probably would not be advisable. That's just too much to read and meditate upon. But you need to read more than one verse and three paragraphs by some guy named Fred. So just be careful as you use devotional books. But that's a common Bible quiet time tool. Another one that has become more popular in recent days, and I think this is a good thing, are Bible reading plans. So you sign up for some Bible reading plan, or you purchase a Bible reading plan, or you download one. And there are thousands of Bible reading plans, right? They're through the Bible in a year plans. They're, you know, through the Book of Psalms in a year plan. There's the Machane plan, which is an old plan, but it's sort of gotten real popular lately, and that'll put you through the whole Bible in a year. It puts you twice through the Gospels, and it puts you some parts of the Bible you read more than once a year, and so that's become a real popular plan today. So you can go to YouVersion. Are you familiar with YouVersion? And some of the younger crowd be very familiar with YouVersion, and it's a Bible app, but it's more than a Bible app. They offer hundreds of Bible reading plans. And so if you're 30 days away from Easter, there's a 30 days, and you read an assigned section of Scripture every day for 30 days. So now the good thing about reading plans is you're reading the Word of God, and that's good. And so I use reading plans often because they get me in the Word, and they're very, very valuable for that reason. Now, the negative, is, if there is a negative, is that your quiet time is, your devotion time is this encounter you're having with the Lord. Now, it certainly should involve God's Word. In fact, that should be the centerpiece of it. But you don't want this to become just something you check off the list. So you pull up the reading plan. It says to read these 34 verses. So you read them and you check it off. I am done for the day with my Christian service. And you go on about your secular life. And, you know, the next morning you get up and you read the, 47 verses it assigns today, and you check it off and I'm done. And so we don't want our Christian life, our abiding in Christ, to become a checkoff. It's not that. It's a relationship. If I come to my wife and I say, okay, now I just wanted to make sure I check this off. I put on my list I was going to kiss you 7 times this week. I was going to say I love you 5 times. I was going to, rub your back 2 times. And I just wanted to make sure I got everything checked off. I'm good. Wednesday, I'm finished being a husband this week because I got everything done by Wednesday. No, it needs to be a relationship, not just checking things off. So use the Bible reading programs. They're great, but make sure that your quiet time does not just become a checkoff event. And then one I left off that I meant to include was the Lord's Prayer model. And sometimes people will take the Lord's Prayer and they will expand upon it and they'll use that to guide their prayer. And I think that's a great idea, great idea. As long as you have some Bible study and Bible application with it, that's a great idea. And that's something that I will present to you down the road. You've probably heard it presented before. So there are a lot of different models for quiet time, but I want to share with you my model. So there are 5 elements, the way I see this, there are 5 elements of a quiet time. And so I'll just give all 5 of them to you. Number 1 is praise. You should spend time praising God. Number 2, thanksgiving. Number 3, confession. That was cruel to make you write these down, wasn't it? Number 4, Bible study. And number 5, supplication. Praise, thanksgiving, confession, Bible study, and supplication. In my mind, that reflects what God's Word says that we should include as we come before Him in our daily personal worship times. Praise, thanksgiving, confession, Bible study, and supplication. And so today, I want to talk about praise and thanksgiving if we have time, but we'll at least get praise. So what is praise? Praise is an outward expression of the thoughts of our hearts. It's important to know that when you sit down to spend time with God and you're going to praise Him, that this is something that can't just happen in your heart. Praise is always an outward expression. It is always, I can't say that forcefully enough, praise is an outward expression of what you think in your heart. You know, if somebody were to come in tonight and they were to come down maybe about halfway down and they were to ask somebody to slide over and they were to sit in that pew right on the end and you were to look over and you were to see that they were absolutely naked. I mean, nothing, not a stitch of clothing. Would that get your attention? I don't know that that's ever happened here. I hope not. I hope it doesn't happen. And so, I would nod at some of our ushers, I don't know what the protocol is for that, but I imagine one of our ushers would go forward and say, sir, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You've got to cover up. We got some baptism robes in the back. You can't use mine. You can use David's. But they'd tell them that they can't come in. And what if the person said, I have clothes on in my heart. Now, would that be an acceptable answer? No, because clothes aren't in your heart. Clothes are on your body. We want them on your body. Now, praise is something that can't happen in your heart. Praise is an outward expression. It has to happen on the outside of you. So remember that. The whole time we're talking about praise, we're talking about taking the sentiments of our heart, what we think about God, and moving it from the inside of us to the outside of us. And I think that's a critical piece, because I don't think you're really praising God if you don't have some outward expression. Let's look at a couple of verses there. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Now, what did that just tell us? It's on the outside. It's lips. Here, it's something that he is singing or saying. Psalm 51:15, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Not my heart will declare your praise, but my mouth will declare your praise. Praise is the posture of our approach to God. When we come to God, I believe it's best to begin with praise. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Now, if you remember back from us learning how to read different genres of scripture, we talked about the poetry that we come across in the book of Psalms, and we said that oftentimes we'll see two lines that are parallel. They really say the same thing with different words, and we need to interpret them as a pair. Well, here's an example. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. His gates and his courts aren't two separate things. He's talking about the same thing. And here, thanksgiving and praise are the same thing. So when we approach God, we need to approach with this attitude of praise. God, you are wonderful, and thanksgiving, you have been good to me. Hebrews 13:15, therefore through him, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And what is praise? He says that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Again, praise is on the outside. So let's look for a minute at Psalm 63, and I want to just investigate David's praise. How did David praise the Lord? Well, verse 1, he says, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. Now, David begins by affirming his relationship with God. He says, God, you are my God. And so he comes and he says, God, I mean, me and you, we're connected. You're my God. And notice the eagerness that's expressed here as a thirst and as a dependence. God, you're my God, and I thirst for you. I'm depending upon you. And then notice the acknowledgement that what is needed is found in God and is not found anywhere else. He says, God, you're my God, and I'm thirsty for you, and I need something from you that I can't get from anywhere else. So he's not coming with just a laundry list of blessings that he needs. He's acknowledging his dependence upon God. Verse 2, he says, so I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. Now, this is an important verse. Look at it again. I gaze on you in the sanctuary. So he's looking at God. Now, he's not physically seeing God, but spiritually, metaphorically, he's looking to God. And what does he notice? He says, I'm gazing. Now, what's the difference in just looking and gazing? I mean, you can just look past something, but if you just gaze at something, it means you're studying it, you're focused on it. So he's gazing, and what does he see about God? He sees his strength and his glory. David is looking for praiseworthy attributes of God. He's meditating on God. God, you are strong. Your strength is mighty. Your glory is all surpassing. When you praise, you shouldn't be generic. God, you're great, and then move on. That's one of the problems with this ACTS. We start with adoration, and after a while, our adoration sounds the same every day. God, you're great, and then we just move on to confession. We need to look for very specific ways to praise God. We need to look for some specific attributes, and that's what David does here in verse 2. Now look at verse 3. He says, my lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. Notice how the praise moves from the heart to an outward expression. So he says, my lips will glorify you. So, I mean, he's making an outward expression of this. It's in Isaiah 61:3 that the Bible says praise is a garment. You know, we talked about you can't wear clothes on the inside. You can't wear praise on the inside. It's a garment. Psalm 63:4 says, so I will bless you as long as I live. At your name, I will lift up my hands. So here we see more outward expression, outward expression. Verse 5, you satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. David feels satisfaction in his worship, in his devotion. When he talks about you'll satisfy me with food, he's not talking here about physical food. He's talking about, God, when I come to you and I praise you, I talk about your specific attributes, and I'm going to tell you how to do this in a moment. He says, I am satisfied. What a wonderful experience it is to go to God in a quiet time, in a devotion time, and to come away satisfied. You know what I mean? Just, I'm satisfied with the Lord. And this praising God, beginning our quiet times with praise is a key part of that. And then verse 6. When I think of you, I lie on my bed and I meditate on you during the night watches. And so here David ponders and meditates. Now, what's the difference in noticing something and meditating on it? What's the difference in noticing something and pondering it? Well, it's the length of time. I mean, if I just think about, I want to have a burrito for supper tonight. Okay, I just thought about it. But I think, burrito, all of that, you know, ground. I'm going to make you hungry. But, you know, the well-spiced ground beef with a little, with you know, and the rice. You know, I'm going to go through all the details. You know, then I'm pondering on it. So the difference is the amount of time you spend. So he's talking about praising God, but he says, I meditate and I ponder. I spend time on that. And then verses 7 and 8, because you are my helper, I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. I will follow close to you. Your right hand holds on to me. Notice how close David feels to God after he praises him. Now, this isn't just about having a feeling, but you perhaps will never feel closer to God than at the end of the first component of your quiet time when you praise him. So now hopefully I've convinced you of its importance. Let's talk about how to do it. Three steps to praising the Lord. Number one, come to God with an attitude of eagerness based on your relationship with him. You remember David came and said, you are my God, I'm connected to you, and I thirst for you. So come to God with an attitude of eagerness because of your relationship with him. Don't say, all right, it's time for my quiet time, let's get this over with. That's not how you approach the Lord. You know, Lord, you're my God. I'm amazed at that. And I cannot wait to spend time with you. So come with this eagerness. B, meditate on the wonder, character, and beauty of God. And so we're going to meditate, which means to spend time thinking about specifically the wonder, character, and beauty of God. And then express your thoughts of praise outwardly. Because remember, it's not praise unless it's outward. Now, how do you do this in your quiet time? Here's where we're going to get very specific. So you start by addressing the Lord as your Father and your God. So when I begin my quiet time, I always start with that. Lord, thank you that I have a relationship with you. Thank you that you are my Father who art in heaven. Thank you that I am a child of God, that I have the privilege to come. You say it however you want to say it, but acknowledge that there's a relationship. You know, you've not come to a stranger. You have come to your God, to your heavenly Father. And then letter B, use scripture to highlight and prompt your meditation on the wonder, character, and beauty of God. Now, if you look to the other handout I gave to you, let me tell you what I've done. It's a lot of pages, but you'll notice that I've got 1 to 3 verses grouped together. So if you look at the first one, it has the word dates. I put that on there, so if you use this, you could write down the date that you use that passage. I'll show you what you'll use it for in a minute. So the first section just has one verse, Psalm 86:5. The second section has two verses, Job and Daniel. The third section has two verses, Psalms and Titus. The next one has two, Psalms and Jeremiah. So you see how they're grouped? Now, those verses are grouped by theme. Okay, so those verses will be about the same thing. And so I went through and I pulled out all of these verses that talk about the character and nature of God and I grouped them together. And I gave headings to them in what I use, but I didn't want to give you the headings because I don't want to give it away. So here's how you would do this. Now, eventually, you won't need the book, but if you do this in the beginning until you get the hang of this, this will sort of be training wheels, and it'll help you out. So read a section. So it's one or two verses. Read a section, one or two verses, and then think about what that section says about the attributes of God. And then, letter C, we'll do this in a moment. It'll all come together. Write a sentence or two down that expresses something of the glory of God. So here's where we're going to get it on the outside of us. And so praise can't just be in your heart. It has to be expressed. So you could say it aloud. I write it down. So this sounds complicated, but when we do it, it won't be. So let me just do it. I'm going to take prompt number two. So I'm going to take the second set of two verses. So I'm starting my quiet time. I would say, Lord, thank you that you're my God and I can come and spend time with you. And Job 28:24 says, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Now think about that a moment. For he looks to the ends of the earth. God looks to the ends of the earth and he sees what? Everything under the heavens. And then I read Daniel 2:22 because it goes with it. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Now you see those two verses talk about the same thing? And so I would read those two verses and I would meditate on them. Now to meditate on them means to spend what? Time on them. And so I would read them again. He looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything. It says in Daniel 2:22 that he sees even the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness. When God looks at things, everything is light to him. There are no secrets. And so have you ever just thought about how this attribute of God, that how wonderful it is that God knows everything, that God is never confused about anything, that God is never surprised about anything? Have you ever thought that nobody has ever informed God? Nothing has ever dawned on God? I mean, every once in a while, I think, oh, okay, I understand that. God's never had that feeling, okay? He knows everything. There are no secrets. There are no surprises. And so the way I begin my praise time is I read a couple of these verses, and I just meditate on it. I think of all that means, how wonderful it is, God. I mean, it'll sort of stretch your mind to think that there's not anything that's a mystery to God. Okay, now after I've meditated on that attribute of God, that one attribute of God, what's the attribute? That God is all-knowing. Then I would write down a sentence. And so here's the sentence I wrote down, because praise is an outward expression, so you should say something or you should write something down. And so in my quiet time, I wrote down this: nothing is a mystery to you. You are never surprised. You perfectly understand everything that happens. Okay, then I've done my praise. So I always start my quiet time with praise. I'll read a couple of verses that tell me something about God. I will meditate on how wonderful God is in whatever those verses speak about. And then I will express specific praise to God by writing it down. Now, do you see how this is not going to put you in a rut? You go through 30 days in a row of this, you're not going to find yourself every day saying, well, God is great, now let's get on to the next part. For 30 days, every day, you're going to be meditating on some new wonderful thing about God, about how amazing God is. And you're going to be praising God specifically for 30 different, completely different things that are wonderful about him. Now, when we praise God, it connects us with God. When we praise God, we're satisfied. When we praise God, it opens up that relationship of abiding in Christ, and it makes the rest of our prayer and our devotion time possible. I think you ought to start with praising God. Now, this perhaps takes a little practice, But here's what I want us to do. I want us to practice right now. As we've gone through some of these how to study the Bible, every principle we've learned, we've done a little sandbox. We've said, well, let's try it out, what we've learned, and see if it works. And I want us to do this here. So let me give you some instructions. Look at the bottom of the first page. So that means over here on your praise and thanksgiving prompts. You see those two verses, Psalm 89 and Jeremiah 32? All right, I want you, just at your seat, I want you to read those two verses once, twice, 10 times, however many times you want to. And I want you to take a minute and just meditate. They tell, those two verses together tell you one wonderful thing about God. So read those two verses. See if you can figure out what they say is wonderful about God. And then, if you will, I know some of you don't like audience participation, but I want you to write down a sentence of praise. However you want to write it. There's no wrong way to do it. God, I praise you because you are whatever. Or you can get more creative. It doesn't matter. So meditate on those two verses. Identify the attribute. Meditate on that. And write down a sentence of praise. Go. All right, so this is one of those activities you can do in 20 seconds or you can do in 30 minutes. And you'll find in your devotion times, if you use these praise prompts, then sometimes it'll take 20 seconds. And sometimes you will just be pulled into a time of meditating and praising God. And you'll spend the majority of your time right here in this praise prompt. And you will just leave just... You know, the Bible talks about how Moses just had that glow because he had come into the presence of God. There will be times, and don't have this expectation every day, that you'll read a couple of these verses, you'll begin to meditate on the beauty of God, and it will satisfy your soul. So just in a word, what is the attribute that these two verses talk about? That God is what? Powerful or strong. So would somebody be so brave as to share the praise sentence that they wrote? You have to speak loudly so people can hear you. Would somebody be that brave? You don't have to. It's a private thing. All the way in the back. He has defeated our enemies, given us victory over death. So your power and strength are a comfort in the face of my weakness, and there's nothing you can't get me through.
Father, you are in control.
Somebody else. Yes, ma'am.
Lord, there is no circumstance in my life that you cannot handle.
There is no circumstance in my life you cannot handle. You are almighty. With your hand, you can move all. Now, here's what I want you to see. Now, all those were different, but they're all about the same thing. Now, it gives me goosebumps, okay? Because I think a lot of times our praise is just so generic. It's just so repetitive. It's the same thing we said yesterday. But if you will let Scripture prompt you, And you will really meditate on something wonderful about God. You will surprise yourself at the praise that will come out of your mouth or come out of your pen as you write this down. Now, so what I've done, I think there's like 17 pages of these. And some of them will be better than others. You know, some of them I put together and they were less cohesive than others. But and there may be a couple of repeats in here, not the whole pair, but one side or the other of the pair. But use these. Now, here's what will happen after you do this for a while. You will eventually get to where you can just open the Bible and come up with your own praise prompts. And so you'll just be able to read through the book of Psalms, or you'll be able through your daily Bible reading program, if you're doing that calendar thing, you will run across attributes of God and you'll do this on your own. But let this be your training wheels for a while, and let this prompt you to praise God in ways that you would have never praised God before. I promise you, if you go through this, you're going to think about God in ways, you know, I never really thought about, you know, the sufficiency of God, or I never really spent time meditating on the beauty of God. You know what it means that God is beautiful? You ever thought about that? I mean, we think about a painting is beautiful, but you can see a painting. A song is beautiful. You can hear a song. But how can God be beautiful? The Bible talks over and over about the beauty of God. Well, beauty, a painting is beautiful when nothing could be done to it to make it any better. If a painting, a masterpiece, it is a masterpiece because one more stroke with a brush would have made it less beautiful. One less stroke, one fewer strokes would have made it less. I mean, it is complete. So guys, think about this. I mean, we don't think a lot about beauty. Guys don't go to beauty shops. But think about this, guys. If you say that a football play, that was a beautiful play, what do you mean by that? It was perfect. Everything happened the way it should have happened. It was complete. When we say that God is beautiful, what are we saying? There's no way to improve him. Well, what could you do to God for him to be better? Could God, I mean, we say that God can do anything. Could God get better? No, he can't get better. He can't improve himself. He can't do better tomorrow than he did yesterday. He's beautiful. He's complete. He's perfect. And it's just some of these things will be communicated to you in these prompts, and you'll think some new thoughts, and you'll praise God in some new ways. And I think it'll be life-changing. Now, let's in the few minutes we have, let's focus on Thanksgiving. This is a little simpler. The praise thing, I'm telling you, it'll take a little while. Now, the reason I put dates here is... you know, what I would suggest if you want to use these prompts is you just run through them from beginning to end, and you just put a date there, you know, that you did that one, so you'll know that you don't repeat it too often. You know, so get through all of them and then come back and do them again, and I think it'll be helpful. So, Thanksgiving. A lack of thankfulness to the Lord is the root of all sins. Did you know that? Romans 1:21 tells us as much. I'll let you read that on your own. But let's just think back through some famous sins. Why did Satan sin? Does anybody know? Well, God had blessed Lucifer. He was an angel that was beautiful, the Bible says, and was powerful. God had blessed him. But instead of being thankful for what God had done, he wanted more. He wanted to be honored and worshiped, and so he rebelled against God. But the root of Satan's sin was what? Ingratitude, a lack of thankfulness. What about Eve's sin in the garden? Adam and Eve sinned. They ate the fruit. What was the root of Eve's sin? Well, God had blessed Adam and Eve with all kinds of fruit, with a bountiful provision of fruit. Well, instead of being thankful for the thousand things that she could eat, she focused on the one thing that she was forbidden to eat. The root of Eve's sin was unthankfulness. We could take more contemporary sins. Like if somebody steals something from the store, what is the root of that sin? Well, we say, well, it's the sin of stealing. But where did the stealing come from? Well, it's a person who is not thankful for the provisions that God has given them, and so they reach out and get things that were not given to them by the Lord. The sin is a sin of unthankfulness. What about adultery? When a man or a woman commits adultery, what has he done? What has she done? Well, chosen not to be thankful for the spouse that God has given, but yet they have reached out to somebody that God has not given to them. The root sin is the sin of adultery. And we can talk about every other sin, and I promise you, I can trace it back to the sin of unthankfulness. This is serious. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. We should be thankful. We're commanded to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Psalm 136:26, give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Proclaim his deeds among the people. Now notice in all of these verses, it says to give thanks. Give thanks. Thanks is an action, not an attitude. We need to give thanks. It needs to be something that we say or something that we do. Few things, by the way, are more therapeutic than giving thanks. So you'll hear me repeat this in quite a few messages through the years, if the Lord allows. But if you're discouraged, if you're angry, bitter, depressed, the best thing I know for you to do in the short term, if you come see me tomorrow and you say, I am so depressed, I just don't know if I can go on another day. Well, there are a lot of things you and I need to talk about. But there's one thing I can do, I can tell you to do, that'll bring almost immediate relief. It's not the only thing you need to do, but there's one thing that'll help quickly, and that's to be thankful. So we'll pull out a piece of paper, and I'll help you. We'll sit right there in my study, and we'll start making lists of things you can be thankful for. And usually when somebody starts, they get the obvious things out of the way. You know, thankful I'm alive, I'm thankful the building's not on fire, whatever. But then they'll get through a slow point, and they say, well, I can't think of anything else, but we'll press on. And then before you know it, it's just free-flowing Thanksgiving. And they'll fill up page after page. Well, if you're thankful, about the end of page 2 of being thankful, writing down things you're thankful for, you won't be depressed. Now, I know depression can be more complicated than that, and I'm not saying that's the only thing you need to do. I'm not saying that's the... But there's nothing more therapeutic than just expressing thanks. If we could just have a thankful heart, it would change our perspective on everything in life. So one of the things that we should do in our quiet time, I believe every day, and for me, component number 2 is to give thanks. So how do we do this? Very quickly. By the way, let me reference again Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. And we're staying with that same path. So letter A, review a thanksgiving prompt. Again, you won't have to do this after you've done it a few times. This is just training wheels. The prompts are going to help you stay out of a rut. Now, let's just be honest. If you have a time of thanksgiving every day and you're not intentional about it, your thanksgiving sounds about the same every day, doesn't it? Lord, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my country. I'm thankful for my health. It's just the same thing. Now, and I'm not saying you're not thankful for that, but if you get bored and you're praying, you're not going to pray. And there are all kinds of things to be thankful for. So I've given you some prompts. So what I encourage you to do is go to a prompt and then write something down. Thankfulness is not thankfulness unless it is expressed. And so if you open your book, Praise and Thanksgiving Prompts, it's like the last 3 pages. There are not a lot of these. Because you won't need a lot. You go through these 30 that I have here or 40, you won't need any more. You will have the hang of it. So look at the first one. Write down 4 things for which you are thankful to the Lord concerning your family. And so it just helps you be focused. So you're not just saying, Lord, thank you for my family. But what are 4 things about your family you're thankful for? So that makes me think a little deeper. Oh, well, I can think of 4 things. And so let me thank the Lord for that. You see what just happened in my prayer time? I just got more specific and I just got out of a rut. Look at the second one. No one has perfect health, but you are healthy enough to spend time with the Lord and his word today. write one sentence expressing your thanksgiving for your strength and your health. See, that got you out of the rut. Who are the most important people in your life? In fact, let's practice with this third one. Okay, so we practice the praise. Let's practice the thanksgiving. So look at the third prompt. Who are the most important people in your life outside your family? Write down a name or two, and then why you're thankful to God for that person. So you probably didn't think to do that in your Thanksgiving this morning, did you? But this will prompt you to do something new. So let's do that right now. Write down a name or two of somebody outside your family you're thankful for, and then just a word or two about why you're thankful. Well, hopefully you at least get the idea. So we won't go around the room and share these because nobody cares who you wrote down. As long as you're thankful for them, that's what counts. But the point of this is we're trying to get us out of this rut of just giving God a list of 12 things, the same 12 things you mentioned yesterday, just almost generic things. Lord, thank you for Donna, Hannah, Emily. You'd be more specific about what you are thankful for. And so now your devotion time is really taking on some life. You've spent, you know, between 2 minutes and 10 minutes reading and meditating on a couple of verses that tell you something wonderful about God, and you've expressed that in a sentence. And you're oh God, here's another reason why you're great, and you have entered His courts with thanksgiving and with praise. And you've begun to abide with Christ in a special way. And then you think of some real specific ways you're thankful to God. You can still go through your list, and perhaps you should. But you're going to use one of these prompts and think of some real specific ways you're thankful to God that you hadn't mentioned in a long, long time. And then you're going to be set to get to the next part of our quiet time, which is confession. And we'll talk about confession next week. You think this will help? And so one of the things we will try to do this week, and Jonathan, who's probably downstairs on the video booth, maybe he can help us, but we'll try to put this online. And so if somebody's interested, we'll have some sort of link on the website. The problem is this was formatted for a 6x9 sheet of paper, but maybe we can reformat it and on a piece of paper that would work on a printer you have and get this to you. So if you know somebody be interested in it, you know, they're welcome to it. It's just the Word of God, right? All right, let me close in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you help us learn to walk with you more, to draw closer to you so you'll draw closer to us, and to abide in Christ and His Word. And let us praise you and thank you in new and fresh ways. Let that be the beginning of that every single day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.